All right, that's a pretty interesting quote from Clowney after a loss to the 49ers 26-16. I thought Clowney played another pretty good game. He had, what, four quarterback hits in the game, and they had nine in total. And the question really is this. How big of a deal exactly is it, the Texans being 4-9? Football is a unique sport in our general sports stratosphere in that if the Rockets were playing without James Harden and Chris Paul, there'd be no point to watch the games because they'd be bad. And if we talk about them every day, you'd be talking about the same things, like they're missing their best players, and they're not very good. If the Astros lost Verlander and Keuchel, God forbid, for the whole season, then they wouldn't have a chance to repeat as World Series champions, realistically. But if you were talking about them every single day in detail, like in these towns, like Houston, where you have an NFL team, where those teams are talked about every single day, day in, day out, it kind of feels like the situation is worse than it might actually be.
Yeah.
So the question here is, like, how big a deal is it being 4-9? Because whenever I listen to the postgame show, I think Sean and Ted do a great job, and I enjoy their perspective a lot. A lot of what you get on the phone is a lot of, like, people bringing up, like, the old stuff. Ed Reed, Glover Quinn, all these different things, the mistakes by the GM.
A.J. Boye?
A.J. Boye. Now, that's fair.
Two interceptions yesterday, by the way.
Was it just two?
Just two.
Just two.
Disappointing.
We'll see him on Sunday in Jacksonville. and the Boye one.
Yeah, but he's probably forgotten that he came from here.
But in terms of just the overall situation, we're in a weird spot here where this is a bad team right now. They're 4-9, but in 3 weeks, it's really not going to matter,
right?
Because when the season ends, everything changes.
I think there are a couple things going on, though, and it would be that one, I think people probably naturally look at, let's say, the Green Bay Packers, who lose a quarterback who, just because he's a veteran and because he's Aaron freaking Rodgers, you can say is better than, at this point, better than Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Although, you know what? I mean, Deshaun was having such a crazy year. I hesitate to even say that, but you know what
but
I'm saying.
Enough.
You lose Aaron Rodgers, who's very clearly the thing that drives that team. Green Bay hasn't had a good defense in seemingly a decade, and yet they've won three games in Aaron Rodgers' absence. So I think it's fair to say, all right, and not to mention, look, we've seen from Bill O'Brien before, you've won with imperfect quarterbacks before. I don't know.
Well, here's the question.
I don't know, like, where Ryan Fitzpatrick or Brian Hoyer necessarily would have done with this group, and that offensive line especially.
I'm glad you brought that up. So Green Bay, after losing Aaron Rodgers, has these three wins on their ledger. Now, in fairness, they have a really good loss in Pittsburgh where they played a great game. The Packers won in Chicago 23-16. They won against Tampa in overtime, and they won against the Browns on the road in overtime. Do we think the Texans could have beaten Chicago on the road, Tampa at home, and Cleveland on the road?
No, there's a very good chance they could have. They've been in most of these games.
Now, I'll say this. The way that Green Bay played in Pittsburgh with Brett Hundley, I don't think this Texans team can do that.
Right.
I don't think they have those capabilities. So I'll give Green Bay credit, and they're obviously a better franchise than the Texans are. We all know this.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the other games, like, it's hard for me to look at this 4-9 because, again, now based on Landry's standards of can they cover the spread? Well, they didn't cover the spread on Sunday, but they have been in these games. They were in the game yesterday. They lost. They were in the game last week. They lost. They were in the game on Monday night. They had a chance to drive down 4. They had a chance to drive down 7. They didn't. They turned the ball over in both situations.
Real quick, do you feel bad for the Browns?
Do I feel bad for the Browns? I do.
That would have been awesome.
Even though
you're not beating Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that would have been an awesome way. If you're going to win one game in a year, it's fun to beat the Green Bay Packers. So, I took a picture of the guys with the Fire Rick Smith placards out in front of our
booth. They were fun.
Well, the one guy was wearing Santa shorts. And that's how he made my Twitter feed, by wearing the Santa shorts. I'm always interested, like, people that they were picking our radio show, which is a strange medium to pick it with posters. People can't typically see all of it, but they like us, and they were picketing.
Yeah.
They had, like, there were three dudes with, like, six Fire Rick Smith posters.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were distributing more of them to their friends later or whatever it was, but I think what you have now is, like, look, there's been a bunch of people that have wanted to fire Rick Smith for a long, long time. Going, only winning four games and having a bunch of injuries, the injuries don't necessarily change the fact that you want Rick Smith fired just like you did at the beginning of the season.
You know what the real problem is, Seth, is that they have retained a general manager for such a long time that nobody in this sport thinks to themselves, Rick Smith is one of the best GMs in the NFL.
Right.
Right? Like,
I don't know. Remember what? Gary Grambling from Sports Illustrated that was gushing about how awesome he was, or was he gushing about Bill O'Brien last year?
Yeah, but I like Gary.
I think
Gary.
He was gushing about Rick Smith.
Hey, I like Gary, but I would not consider Gary to be one of the, how should I put this? One of the major voices
plugged
in.
He's a bright guy.
Not even plugged in, just like a major voice.
Okay,
in the NFL
I'm just saying you're saying nobody. I'm saying at least one body.
By contrast, I'm guessing the feeling in baseball about Jeff Luhnow or the feeling in the NBA about Daryl Morey probably substantially different than the feeling about Rick Smith. Even when those guys make bad moves, even when Daryl drafts Marcus Morris over Kawhi Leonard, even when Jeff Luhnow drafts Mark Appel over Chris Bryant, I'm guessing strongly that the feeling on those guys in their sports is better, whereas it seems like the Texans have kept it around an average GM for an exceptionally long period of time, and that kind of wears on the fan base.
Yeah, and that's where we are right now, too. I feel like this is purgatory because I'm caught in two worlds. One, there's a part of me that says, all right, listen, this will all be over soon, and we can enjoy the Rockets and the Astros, and then next season they get Deshaun Watson and Whitney Merciless and J.J. Watt back. The problem with that thinking is that it never goes quite according to plan, and I don't know where it will be in via free agency departure, via another injury that might occur in the next three games, off-season happenings, whatever it might be. The fact that you're not drafting a first or second rounder, likely, maybe you'll trade up into the second round. All those things, it's never as simple as, hey, we get those guys back, so we'll be better, right? Deshaun Watson, a guy who uses his legs pretty effectively, tore his ACL. Is he going to be exactly the same immediately when he comes back, or is it going to take a while? I don't know.
We don't
so
know.
So it's not just a slam dunk that, hey, we're going to be back to the exciting football that we got to see while Deshaun Watson was healthy.
Well, especially because of the division is also a factor. Jacksonville looks very good. They should be, I'm assuming, equally as good next season, although yeah. It's dangerous to assume. I'm guessing Indy's going to be better because they get Andrew Luck back eventually. Now, Tennessee, I have no idea.
How is Marcus Mariota? By
the
way,
I don't know.
I don't want to dwell on the negative. Did you check out the ball security on Tom Savage yesterday? Very impressive. I'm going to give a golf clap for that.
Okay.
Did you see that?
No turnovers.
He was being marauded by multiple defenders, and
yes.
The ball stayed firmly within
right
his grip, his kung fu grip.
We got to take our wins when we can get
progress.
Them. All right. Texas.
I'm actually serious about that. Obviously, I'm not celebrating it or anything, but I was impressed. I was impressed that first. It was early on, like in the first couple series. He got tackled by three defenders. This tends to happen if you hold on to the ball for more than 1.2 seconds
yes.
behind that offensive line. He held on to the football.